This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. Eager to hear from you today. I love hearing from you Monday through Friday right here on Women of Grace Live as we gather together to have holy conversation. Oh, my goodness. I always look forward to your calls, to your questions, to what's going on in your world and what it is that you would like to share with us. Let me give you the toll-free number to use. It is toll-free for you right here in North America. That number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We're available for you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to leave your question, your comment, your insight, your inspiration for us there, and we'll get it retrieved and up on the board. We have Matthew Gabensky on the phones today, and I'm not quite certain who it is who is doing our social media retrieving, but I'll let you know that in a moment. We have Rich Jesse joined by Pedro right there in the studio on the campus of EWTN, making it all happen. And a shout out to TOC, our technical operations center that gets everything up there. Everybody works really hard at EWTN to bring you these very great broadcasts via radio as well as television. I do invite you to join me on television Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time for our program Women of Grace. I interview all kinds of great people. On Fridays, I give a teaching. Oh, just love being with you in every way that I possibly can. Speaking of ways that I can be with you and we can be together, we are looking forward to our retreat at Malvern Retreat House that's coming up in 2 weeks. Yes, indeed, 2 weeks, gracious sakes. It's just going to be a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for us to gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be edified, to be built up, to be lifted, to be inspired, to be informed, to be instructed. All of these wonderful ways in which we can grow together in our life of faith. So let me tell you a little bit about it. It's going to begin with the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. That's June the 27th. That's the Thursday. And it's going to start at 9 a.m. Run through the day there. We'll eat dinner. We'll have a little repast that evening. And then we will gather together the very next day on June the 28th, Friday morning at 9. We will run until about 3 in the afternoon. The theme for the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within. It's going to be led by Chris McGregor. Very eager for you to meet Chris if you haven't met her before. Wonderful woman of God. We've become friends. I think that we have a mutual admiration society going on. It's beautiful when you have holy friends. We were talking about that quite a bit the other day, and I can tell you one thing. We need them in our lives. Chris is very, very beautiful presenter. In addition to all of that, she knows a whole lot about this topic, women, mystics, and the divine life within. She's going to be sharing with us about the mystical life. She's going to be talking with us about it in reference to some of the women mystics. There'll be a lot of opportunity for you to reflect and also to share, to ask her questions, to engage in this wonderful time of growing more deeply in our knowledge of the movement of grace in us, in our knowledge of the movement of the Holy Spirit in us, right? We all want to aspire to holiness of life. So what does that mean? And how is it presented through these women mystics? So I think it's going to be thrilling. I'm so excited about it. I can't wait. I'll be a student along with you, although I'll probably do the introducing of Chris. We'll see how that works out. All of that being said, it's going to be lovely. When that closes out on Friday around 3 p.m., we will be getting ready for the Women of Grace retreat itself that begins that Friday evening. It starts off with registration around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at 5. We're going to eat at 6. We're going to get started with praise and worship at 7. I'm going to give you a little introductory talk. Then I'll introduce the greater numbers of people that will be there to Chris McGregor, who is going to talk with us specifically about the mysticism of St. Faustina, because our whole retreat theme is Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. Isn't that interesting? Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. You know, the Divine Mercy was a crucible of new life for St. Faustina, and Divine Mercy wants to be a crucible of new life for you too. What does that mean, and in what ways can we experience that? That is what we will be exploring through the course of our time together, beginning with those Friday night opening talks. Mine, a little introduction to the overall theme. Chris's more, and really based on the mysticism of St. Faustina. On Saturday, we begin again, and Saturday is going to be lovely. I want to tell you, it's going to be tremendous. Father Ken Geraci is going to be with us. We'll be celebrating the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass in time for confession on Saturday. We'll also have opportunity to hear Father Ken presenting on divine mercy and spiritual warfare. Why is, what is the nature of the lessons that our Lord taught to St. Faustina regarding the spiritual battle, both the spiritual battle that exists within ourselves and the spiritual battle that exists exterior to ourselves? And how is it that we find in and through the Divine Mercy the capacity to be more than conquerors in all of those ways in which the evil one would seek to trap us, ensnare us, deplete us, desolate us, right? Depress us. How is it that the Divine Mercy offers us the means by which we can be triumphant in the midst of all of those struggles and battles? It's going to be just very, very insightful. I can tell you that for sure. In addition to that, I'm going to be presenting on this Crucible of New Life. What is that about? How is it that we mine treasures? What does God want us to know? We're going to be talking about what new life in Christ is all about by way of this look at Divine Mercy. We also have a special presentation that will be ours by Father Chris Alar. It is a video recorded one, but it's a beautiful presentation. I think that you are going to really enjoy that. In the evening on Saturday, we are going to have a healing service. This healing service is going to be lovely. It was last year. Father Ken was with us last year, and I'm telling you, it was so powerful. It was amazing. I could see the change in the women, because I was sitting right in the front. So I could see them as they came up, the expressions on their face. You could almost read the burden in their hearts. And as they came up and received this special, special moment with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ presented in its monstrance, being offered through In Persona Christi, through the priesthood of Father Ken Geraci, you could see the transformation. You could see it. It was palpable. You could also feel it. The entirety of the environment of the room changed. Really wonderful. So that's going to be beautiful. We will reconvene on Sunday morning. There will be a talk on Sunday morning, and we will close with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, ending up right around noon. Really hoping you can join us. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. All of the information is there, including opportunity to register. You can also bring your daughter, ladies, because we will have a Young Women of Grace track that is all day Saturday. If they come with you from a distance, or if you're staying there, even if you're local, you can bring them. They can stay with you. They can come Friday evening and Sunday as well. It's going to be wonderful. Please take advantage of this opportunity. It's going to be great. More on the other side of the break. 833-288-EWTN. That's the way that you can join us. Please do.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. We're eager to hear from you today. We certainly are. Let me give you the number that you can use toll-free here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you if you are outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. 1-800-275-8585. Do want to also let you know that we are available for you out there in social media land. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page are available for you, so we invite you to use them. And did you know that you can also text us? So I invite you to text us to 205-271-2985. If you're outside of the country, you don't text there. I read this wrong. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Messages and message and data rates may apply. So let me give that to you again. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. Again, the toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We look forward to hearing from you today. I have a little quiz for you. And here's a little quiz we're going to take. This is a quiz to test your fervency with regard to your reception of the Blessed Sacrament, right? When you go up to receive Jesus for Holy Communion, are you really fervent? Because the efficacy of the sacrament depends upon your fervency of heart. Did you know that the openness of heart that you bring, the desire for Jesus that you bring to your reception, really has an impact on how efficacious the sacrament is for you. So I'm going to give you a little quiz and then I'm going to tell you how to interpret it. So count on your fingers if you don't have a pencil and paper handy. Number one, do you see Holy... here's your phrase. I see... yes or no answers. I see Holy Communion as a privilege rather than an entitlement. If yes, raise one of your fingers. Second, my preparation to receive Jesus starts before Mass. Raise another finger if the answer is yes. Three, I consider it important to show acts of piety toward the Eucharist, kneeling, genuflecting, dressing appropriately, maintaining silence in church as the general rule. If you can give a yes to that, raise another finger. Number four, my lifestyle, daily habits, and attitudes of heart reflect Jesus alive in me. Ooh, this requires a bit of an examination of conscience, right? My lifestyle, daily habits, and attitudes of heart reflect Jesus alive in me. If you can give a yes, raise a finger. How about this one? I strive to keep a consistent time of prayer. Do you? Do you strive to keep a consistent time of prayer? Now note the word strive. You know, that means that you're trying really hard. You're not giving yourself a pass, but that sometimes it might not be possible. But nonetheless, you're striving for that. Give yourself a yes, raise a finger. I frequently find my heart and mind turning to God through the course of the day. Do you give little God nods through the course of the day? If so, okay, it's another finger for you. Number seven, my thanksgiving after Holy Communion is heartfelt rather than routine and perfunctory. You know, just a little comment on this. My thanksgiving after Holy Communion is heartfelt rather than routine and perfunctory. So, you know, when you receive Jesus, you know, do you go back to the pew and just get about the business of singing whatever song is being sung? Or do you welcome Jesus into your heart? Do you greet him? Do you offer thanksgiving to him for having been able to receive him? Do you listen quietly for his still small voice? Are you really paying attention to the fact and striving to the best of your ability to bring your mind and heart into an acknowledgement that you have just received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, well then, that's another yes. So put up another finger for that one. Number eight, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament is an important aspect of my spiritual life. Number nine, I seek ways to respond to the physical and spiritual needs of others. Interesting. Another examination of conscience there. I seek ways to respond to the physical and spiritual needs of others. I seek ways to respond to the physical and spiritual needs of others. And number 10, each day I consciously thank God for the blessings I have received. Do you? Thank God each day for the blessings that you have received. If so, lift a finger. All right, count the number of fingers that you have up. Here you go. If you have 10 fingers up or 9 fingers up, you are ready for canonization. If you have 8 fingers or 7 fingers up, you are definitely on the road to holiness. If you have 6 fingers or 5 fingers up, the fire of desire in your heart for God is getting lukewarm. If you have 4 fingers down to 2 fingers up, it's time for renewal. If you only have 1 finger up, a serious examination of conscience is in good order. Wow. Well, that's for your benefit and edification. Hopefully, you had a good number of fingers up. If you didn't, you see the areas where you need to work. So a little test like this from time to time is not a bad thing. It lets us know where we are and where we need to be. And it needs to provoke within us a desire to get to where we need to be. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about the one here that's causing you the most grief, the one that is a little bit more difficult for you. I don't know. Our phone lines are open. I'm happy to hear. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I could improve in numbers of these ways. Maybe you can too. Is there one where you really see most improvement needing to be made? We can talk about that today and anything else that you want to talk about. Remember, you can call us at 833-288-EWTN, or if you're out of the country, 205-271-2985. Or if you want to text, you can text the letters EWTN to 581777. 581777. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Know that message and data rates may apply. We have Paul with us. Paul is in Howell, New Jersey today, listening to us via domestic church media. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Johnette. How are you?
Just dandy. Thank you.
I was calling up to thank you, Johnette. I called in a while back and for a prayer request. A friend of ours had a bad back surgery. He's a police officer, and he's doing very well now. And
good. It was a
it was a two-prong request, and my son was also taking a very important job for his firefighting career, and he passed that with flying colors. So I wanted to thank you and all the people out there that prayed for them because it really came through.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Paul, I really appreciate hearing that because it edifies us and lets us know that God does hear our prayers and he makes haste to help us. But also, too, because I think it pleases the Lord when we acknowledge the blessings that we have received from him. And that's why on Fridays, you know, we generally dedicate our show to praise reports. I am so glad that you called in to share this with us. Now, your son, wasn't he going through some kind of, he wants to be a first responder, a fireman? Was it that?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was in. He was struggling in his academy a while back, about a year and a half ago. And again, I called in and I asked for prayers, and he came through the academy really well. And now he's out there. He's, you know, he's an actual firefighter, and he took this exam a while back, and he did well. So he's doing really well. And my other son is a New Jersey State Trooper, so they're both doing really well.
Wow, what a beautiful thing. You have a family of service. You have raised young men who truly want to serve their country and serve the people of their country. How beautiful is that?
Thank you, Janet. I appreciate that. I have a question about the catechism. I only just recently started rereading the catechism. I haven't read my catechism since first grade, which was a long time ago. And I was watching a show the other night, and I heard the priest refer to reading the right catechism, and I didn't really know that there are different types of catechisms. I just wanted to get your take on that, and if there is different ones, what one would you recommend?
Well, that's an interesting statement. I haven't heard it. So, of course, we know that the most recent catechism we have was promulgated by Pope John Paul II. And I have one sitting here, so I can tell you when that was first published. It was first published, I think, in 1994 is when it first came out. So that's the most recent catechism.
That's the one I'm reading.
Okay. So again, this is a very, very expressive, full, beautiful catechism of the Catholic Church, very comprehensive. So I would say that that's probably the preferred one. But there were catechisms prior to that. There was a catechism that was promulgated by Father John Hardin, a very good one, but certainly not this one. And in addition to that, you know, I'm not sure exactly which catechism you read growing up, but the one I read growing up was the Baltimore Catechism. And
that's the one that the priest mentioned on the show that I was listening to. He mentioned the Baltimore Catechism.
Okay. Well, if he mentioned that one, you know, that was an excellent catechism. Now, it got bad reviews as education began to change various methods, right? So rote memorization was something that wasn't really being emphasized at a particular time. And so the Baltimore Catechism came underneath a little bit of scrutiny because, as you well remember, it was a question with an answer. And students memorized both the question and the answer, at least I did. And, you know, you know, but the thing of it was that the Baltimore Catechism gave very succinct, theologically correct answers to complicated and complex questions. And so, you know, when we were little children, I don't know about you, Paul, but I really didn't quite understand the words that I was mouthing. I guess I understood them on the level of a child. But it was really amazing to me. When I came back to the faith after wandering away for 10 years, I could recall those Baltimore catechism questions and answers and see them with a new depth. I could see them with a more adult perspective, and I could see into them, you know, answers that I had been pondering but really hadn't arrived at until I came back to the faith. And so I was really grateful for my training in the Baltimore Catechism and for the rote memorization, because I can dip into those and I can see and understand more. And I'll give you an example of that. You know, when I was a little girl, we learned about actual grace, and I didn't quite understand what actual grace was or sanctifying grace. I knew what the word said, but I couldn't comprehend the notion of it, right? The theological reality of it, the mystical reality of it. But then, you know, when I came back to the faith, you know, I saw that even my coming back had been moments of actual grace that led me back, that it was the Holy Spirit just showing up, Johnny on the spot, to lead me back into this deeper connection with our Lord. So, you know, I think that is it. So, you know, I don't think that there's a disconnect, though, between what we learned as children and what the new catechism says, because the truth is the truth is the truth, and Holy Mother Church is consistent in her teaching. We call it a catena of faith. It's a chain. It's a chain of teaching. It's an unbroken chain about the truths of the faith that obviously are located in sacred scripture, found as far back as the Old Testament, but fulfilled through our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, completely in concert with sacred scripture. So, you know, I kind of like to think of it as a both and rather than an either or. And I would love to hear that comment of Father's in context, so I understood more clearly, you know, what it was that he was getting at there. So when he says right, I'm assuming he means R-I-G-H-T, as opposed to R-I-T-E, and you know that would require a little qualification too. But I really thank you for your call today, and congratulations to your son and the good news I'm so happy to receive about the police officer who's doing so much better now. And you know, friends, God is always answering our prayer. We never need to wonder, is God answering our prayer? He is. He is. He's giving us a yes or a no or a not now, but he's always answering our prayer. He always hears our prayer. But because God orders all things to the ultimate good for us, he knows what is best for us. He knows if the prayer is the best. He knows if what we're asking for is the good that we ought to receive, if it's going to lead us in the direction that we need to be led into. And, you know, in that duration, that period of time that we're waiting for the prayer to be answered, you know, God is about the business of working things to the good. So, you know, we talk here about a physical healing for Paul's police officer friend, and we're grateful for that. You know, but for the duration of time that that police officer was suffering with his injury, hopefully he was taking all of that suffering and offering it to God in the same prayers our Jesus Christ offered to God as he hung on the cross, surrendering it for the ultimate good in our life, but the ultimate good for all of humanity. So when we attach our suffering to the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, even that suffering becomes efficacious. That suffering can be the greatest prayer. I spoke with a mother recently, and I said to her, listen, all that you're dealing with right now, all the emotional travail that you're going through right now, offer that to God for the sake of those for whom you're praying. Because that very suffering itself is the greatest prayer that you can pray. It's the very prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, who offered all of his travail on behalf of mankind, and that's brought us salvation. So our prayer in union with his can bring salvation. Of course, we have free will, and sometimes the people that we're praying for are not open to receiving the grace that God's offering. But nonetheless, we continue to pray. We continue to pray. We continue to pray. Prayer is always efficacious. Oh, dear. Well, here we are. We're at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to hearing from you in this next half of the hour. Paul called in. You can call us, too. Here's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Also available for you at this number if you are outside of North America, 205-271-2985. You can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. And we're available for you, too, out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Coming right back, stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you. Our phone lines are open for you. We've got social media clicking away there. We've got all kinds of good opportunities for you to join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. We're talking about a number of things today. We were talking about prayer right before the break. We were talking about the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the Baltimore Catechism right before the break. We were also talking about, you know, our fervency of reception of the Blessed Eucharist. And I gave you a little test, a little quiz there. And I asked you to take that little quiz and invited you to give us a call for the one that you've got to work on. It's okay to admit you got to work on one or two of these things. We all do. I don't think that any one of us listening today is really ready for canonization, which would mean that we got all 10 of them or 9 of them right, or not right, but could say yes to, you know. I don't know. I know I'm not ready for canonization. I'm guessing you aren't either. So where do you need to work? Where do you struggle with one of these? We'd love to hear about it. Want to give you the numbers to use, 833-288-EWTN, toll free for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That is country code 1-205-271-2985. Or you can text the letters, you can text us by using this EWTN, text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. Also want to let you know that you can leave a question for us 24/7 or a comment. Just go out to our listener comment line. That number is 205-795-5773. Outside of the country, country code 1-205-795-5773. 5773. Well, I want to tell you about a really great book that has just been released by EWTN Publishing. Very eager to get a copy of this book myself. Going to send one off to Sue Brinkman. You know, tomorrow is Wacky Wednesday and Sue will be with us. So I know she'll be interested in this book. It is Catholicism and Buddhism, The Contrasting Lives and Teachings of Jesus and Buddha, written by Anthony E. Clark. It's a long title, Catholicism and Buddhism, The Contrasting Lives and Teachings of Jesus and Buddha, written by Anthony E. Clark. Why? Why did he write this book? Well, I'm going to tell you why. There's been a recent number of books that have come out that compare Christianity and Buddhism that concentrate mostly on the similarities between the two. Actually, even the Dalai Lama offered his opinion on Christianity in a popular 1996 book. But since then, other writers have jumped on the bandwagon and attempt to describe these two traditions as two paths to the same place. Don't you hear that a lot out there? Buddhism, Catholicism, any other spirituality, they're all going in the same direction. Well, not so. In his book, Catholicism and Buddhism, The Contrasting Lives and Teachings of Jesus and Buddha, Anthony Clark, the author, finds the approaches that are offered in these books overly simplified, and he confronts the distinctions, the dissimilarities between Buddhism and Catholic Christianity. Now, he does say that, okay, so there can seem to be areas of similarity, but he also shows the areas of difference. Clark provides a Catholic view of Buddhism that avoids the obscure and seeks clarity for the sake of more productive dialogue. This book's available for you. You can get it right away. Just go to EWTNRC.com. You receive free standard shipping on, of online orders, $75 or more. And underneath that, of course, it's standard shipping. Continental United States only does that apply to, and you can use the code FREE to get that opportunity for the free shipping on orders of $75 or more at at checkout, put in FREE. So just go to EWTNRC.com or EWTNReligiousCatalog.com/Catholicism-and-Buddhism. I tell you, just go out to EWTNRC.com, put in Anthony E. Clark, and his book will come up. I think that's the easiest way because it's a long title to remember. But I'm sure it's going to be an absolutely excellent read for you. So I don't want you to delay. Get out there and order your copy right away. Do it today. I'm going to get a copy right away. I certainly am. All of that being said, I've got some breaking news for you that has just come in to me, that Hunter Biden has been found guilty on all charges. He's been found guilty on all charges. So we'll see what the sentencing looks like. There you have that. All of that going on. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you, eager to hear from you today. I think that we do have a call coming in. While we're answering that call, however, Rich, if we could just pull up one of the questions that was left for us on our listener comment line, because I'd like to get to a few of those today, too. So let's do one of those while we're getting Marielle up on the board.
Hi, I enjoy your program. I would like to know the difference between the Catholic Bible and the one Protestants read. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for listening and thank you for being with us. I really do appreciate your call today. Yes, so there are seven books of the Bible that were always a part of the Bible until the Protestant Reformation, and then they were excised from the Bible. They were taken out of the Bible. Now, let me just tell you what those seven books are. Baruch, Judith, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Sirach, Tobit, and Wisdom. Baruch, Judith, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Sirach, Tobit, and the Book of Wisdom. They're not included in the Protestant version of the Old Testament. These books are often referred to as the Deuterocanonical books. sometimes called the apocryphal books, although there's more than just these that are sometimes named as apocryphal books. But Baruch, Judith, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Sirach, Tobit, and Wisdom were determined to be inspired teachings when the canon of the Bible was determined by the Catholic Council of the Catholic Church. So those are the seven books. That is the difference between the Catholic Bible and the Protestant Bible. So I hope that helps you and answers your question today. Let's get to Marielle. She is with us. She is a first-time caller. Oh, goody. I get to ring my bell. I ring my bell when you're a first-time caller. So we invite you to call us if you've never called before or to call us again. There you go, Marielle. Welcoming you today. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Janet. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good. Well, thank you. You're all the way up there in Ontario, Canada today.
I am. I've been listening for like 15 years, but anyways, my first time. But you're talking about the Eucharist, and I'm a cradle Catholic. I came from a very, very strong Catholic family. And I've been taking courses with Dr. Scott online and stuff with friends.
Oh,
but
good.
And we're talking about the Eucharist today. And I know that it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, but I don't feel it. You know, I go to Mass all the time, and I do my rosary every day, and in Divine Mercy, and I'm praying all the time, and I have EWTN all the time, and pray with them, and it's just, I don't have that feeling of that I see, I don't know, you're supposed to have.
Well, Marielle, let's talk about this for a moment. The first question I want to ask you is, do you desire Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. So we'll begin with that. Feelings, you know, come and go. They come and go in the spiritual life. They come and go in our natural life. We don't always feel happy. We don't always feel sad. We don't always feel joy. We don't always feel grief, right? Feelings are you know, very fluctuating. So we don't evaluate based on feelings. There is a type of sensation that we can receive in a time of prayer, or sometimes when we receive the Blessed Sacrament, which is called a consolation. And it's something that we sense interiorly, not an emotional response, but a spiritual response. And sometimes those can be like little flutters within us, or just an overwhelming sense of the presence of God, or sometimes it's a sense of gratitude. But those are not consistent, and they come and they go. They come by way of God's will of good pleasure. If he feels it's important for us to receive them, you know, then sometimes we receive them. If he doesn't feel that they are important, or if he's trying to teach us a virtue, then he'll withdraw those consolations. So the fact that you don't necessarily feel the true presence of Jesus in some kind of an interior sensate response, or by way of you know, an emotional, purely emotional response, does not in any way diminish the reality or your fervency for receiving our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Notice that in that little test, it was a test of fervency, not a test of feeling, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want him? Do you desire him? Do you even want to desire him? You know, so that's what we evaluate on. So there's times when I'm very eager to receive our Lord. I can't wait to get to Mass. I can't wait to receive him. I receive him, and it's like I'm a rock, you know, I'm a stone. It's like, what is this, Lord? You know, I was so excited to receive you, and now I've received you, and you know, I don't feel interiorly aware of your presence. In that moment, what is important for us, Marielle, is what I'm sure that you're already doing, and that is to make an act of faith. It's okay, Lord. So here's the deal: I don't feel you, but I acknowledge and give full assent to the fact that you are really, truly, substantially present within me. Then sometimes I'll just ask our Blessed Mother to help me. You know, just Mother, help me stay focused on the fact that I've just received your son. You know, she's very efficacious in working these things out for us. So some of the great saints, I think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She's probably a very good one for you to think about, Marielle. You know, she spent 56 years in the dark night of the soul. Every day she received our Lord. Every day she spent like 3 to 4 hours in prayer. If it was a busy day, she spent more time in prayer because she knew to get done what she needed to do, she needed more time in prayer. And she wrote a note, passed it. Now, I'm trying to remember the priest that she passed it to. And on the note, there she was before the Eucharistic presence of our Lord. On the note, she writes, and she's before our Lord. She's received our Lord. She's before our Lord. She writes, where is Jesus? She had no sensible consolation, no kind of interior response to him for all of those years. And yet, what did God do? He used that to become her heroic virtue, that she was faithful, even though she felt nothing. So I know that our Lord is very pleased with you because you desire him and you believe in your heart and soul that you have really, truly, substantially received him into your body. And that's all that he looks for.
It's such a yearning, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And do you know what that yearning does? The yearning is a beautiful thing because yearning in and of itself is prayer, and it dilates the soul. It expands the soul to receive more of the graces of God. And, you know, I want you to pay particular attention in your daily life because, you know, one of the ways when the soul is being dilated and there's graces that are being poured in, we don't always experience some kind of recognition of that in the moment that that's happening. But we will notice recognition of them later on. And how does that break forth in our life? It breaks forth in virtue. So for example, you know, you might notice that if you cast a backward glance, you know, to years gone by now, you might look at yourself now and look at yourself as you were then and say, you know, I really have more patience, or I have a greater ability to carry a cross now, or I have a greater love for my neighbor, or, you know, that person that used to annoy me really doesn't annoy me as much. Or that person who really injured me, I have a greater capacity to forgive or to offer mercy in my heart and soul for that person than I did years ago. That's the outgrowth of your fidelity. And that is a sure sign that the Holy Spirit is at work in you. Or maybe you've been trying to overcome a particular sin or weakness or imperfection in your life for a long, long time, and you've made little progress. But now you notice, you know, in recent days that, wow, you're losing your appetite for whatever that was, or you're making progress in being able to overcome that weakness. That's the effect of grace. And that's a sure sign that even though you're not realizing those graces of reception of our Lord, or even though, you know, you're not feeling some kind of a satisfaction of the desire that you have for him, it's a sure sign that the Holy Spirit is operative in you and your soul is being dilated. I personally think that, you know, as we grow in the spiritual life, I think that the occasions for that not feeling oftentimes expand. The consolation when it comes intensifies, but the period of time between the consolation and the desolation can kind of sort of increase. But that desolation is where the really big stuff is being worked out in us, not in the consolation, not in the sensate reality, not in that. No, it's being worked out in that period of wanting and feeling as though we're receiving nothing, but we're receiving everything. Does that help you?
I will march forward, and I will not give up, just so you know. The glory of God, I will keep going.
Of course you will, because you love our Lord and you desire him.
I do, and the Blessed Mother is my best friend.
There you go.
You know, I talk to her all the time. I don't know, when I lost my own mom, I lost my mom and dad close together, like a month apart, and I was angry at God for a long time, because I thought it was a cruel joke, but the Blessed Mother is just like, you know, she's taken me under her mantle, and like, she's my best friend. I talk to her all the time.
It's wonderful.
You know, I'm so thankful for the Blessed Mother in my life, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, what you're receiving there, again, this is a very special grace. That is a consolation. of God, that Our Lady is, you are so closely knit to our mother, and that you have that friendship with her. And that truly comes by way of her spouse, the Holy Spirit, who affects that. And her maternal beatitude is so great for you. That's a real consolation. That is God showing up through the gift that He's giving you through her. So I'm happy for you, and I'm pleased for you. And I really am grateful for your call. It makes me smile. I'm smiling big. Thank you, Mary Ellen. God bless you, dear.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful call that is. What does the evil one want to do? What the evil one wants to do through these times when the consolation is withdrawn is he wants to get in there, and he wants to convince us that God is very far away from us. Now, why does God allow that struggle to ensue? Why? Why does he even allow us to be tempted? Here we are, we're in desolation. You know, we feel as though, I don't know where God is. I don't feel him. I want him so badly, but where is he? I can't find him. We're in that kind of a state. And then, you know, God permits the evil one to get into the midst of that and to plant and incite all kinds of crazy thoughts into our head. Why? Well, because the Lord is giving us the very way in which our virtue can increase. He's wanting to strengthen our virtue. He wants to make us stronger in him through faith, through hope, through love, through his love operative in us, which keeps us united to his love. It's all a work of God. It's all the divine life within that even keeps us desiring the Lord. So in those moments when, you know, the pressure is there, and you do want to give up, in those moments when you feel as though, you know, doesn't he love me anymore? Why does he allow this cross? In those moments, know that God is so close to you, and he's working out such a great good, a good that couldn't have come if the cross hadn't come. A good that is either preventing you from a greater trial, or one that is bringing about a grace that you could not have experienced had that cross not come. And that will hold you in very, very good stead. You know, I always liken it to the same, you know, analogy, but it's a good one. You know, when you go into the gym and you lift some weights, what are you doing? You're assaulting the muscle, right? You're assaulting the muscle. Let's just take some, you know, bicep curls. You're assaulting the muscle. You're attacking the muscle. You're tearing it down. You're breaking the fiber of it. So that when that fiber is healed, it's stronger than it was before. And the muscle itself grows and is capable of bearing greater weight. It's a perfect analogy for what these moments in the spiritual life are truly all about. They're all about basically breaking down that within you that needs to be broken down, so that through the grace of God, operative in the soul, in the midst of all of that, that place in you that needs to be broken down can become much stronger. So, you know, it's in those areas of weakness. Remember what St. Paul said, "In my weakness, I am strong." His very weakness became his very strength. So it's the working of the weak muscle that makes it strong. So God will come to where we're weakest. He'll allow us to be tried in those areas where we're weakest to make us strong, right? And then that becomes a strength. Then he moves on to the next area of weakness. And he allows the trial there so that we can be made strong. And then the next area of weakness, he allows the trial so we can become strong. And all the while, the entirety of our being is growing stronger and stronger in the Lord. He is conquering one territory after the other within us, that he might take up residence in that territory. And that the stronger, you know, the superlative there of strong, the stronger yields to the strongest, which is the God life actually operative in us. And then we become those more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It's beautiful. It's divine and holy logic. It doesn't get any better than that. So if you're in the midst of a trial right now, praise and thank God and let Him work. Don't ball your fist up and rail at Him. Open it and say, "Yes, Lord, I give fiat to You in the midst of this desolation, in the midst of this trauma, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of not feeling Your presence when I receive You." Oh my goodness, what great good it will yield. So happy to have been with you today. Looking forward to being with you tomorrow. Sue Brinkman will be with us. Get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. Join us at Malvern for the Benedicta, for the retreat, for one or the other. Bring your daughters for the Young Women of Grace Day on Saturday the 29th. God bless you now. Bye-bye.